such a time as this. I was born into the kingdom for such a time as this. I was born into the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time, for such a time as this.
Thing. It's time for Q&A with Joe Ray, with our guest, Joe Ray Perkins. Good afternoon, Joe Ray.
Good afternoon slash evening, Miss Robin. How goes it down there in stormy, rainy, thundery Lane County?
You pretty much summed it up. I would like to do is go ahead and get started real quick with contact information. I understand you've had a very busy week.
Yes. It was a busy Saturday, which felt like a really busy week, but that's life on the campaign trail, going somewhere all the time.
Well, first thing I'd like to do, though, is go ahead and give out your contact information, invite people that are new to the show or have listened to the show, how they can get a hold of you if they have a question that they'd like you to answer on the program. We broadcast here the Q&A with Joe Ray every other Monday for right now, but Joe Ray, would you like to give them the information?
I will do that. So I just set up a new email address, so it's very simple. It's askperkinsfororegon@gmail.com. So if you've got a question, send it there. It's the easiest way to get a question to me, and we will answer it on the air. And there you have it. And if you need an immediate answer in between the shows, I will respond to you.
There you go, askperkinsfororegon@gmail.com, and don't hesitate to ask. No question is too small, as they say.
And there's no dumb questions either. So if you just have a comment, or you can go to my website, perkinsfororegon.com, and that's perkinsfororegon.com, and click on the contact link and send me an email there, and you'll get a response back. I'm really good at getting back to people.
There you go. And why wait for the news broadcast to tell their spiel? Ask the source directly. So, Joe Ray, you've had a very busy week.
Yes, I have. Dare I pull up my calendar and see? I've had a very busy 2 weeks since I was on last. It seems like I've been practically everywhere. So, we're past January and February. There we go. There's this month. So, the most important place that I have been at was in Portland and Salem on Saturday. It was the Citizens for Constitutional Freedom Support Rally. So this rally was to honor Robert Lavoie Finicum, whose life was taken from him by our law enforcement on January 26th. So,
and that was part of the standoff, per se, in Eastern Oregon?
Correct. And more information is coming out on this event. It's just crazy how much is coming out. But these rallies were held, I don't even know how many. I've seen everywhere from 30 rallies on up to 1,000 rallies. North Carolina, there was a rally. New York, there was a rally. In Portland, in Salem, in Bend, in Harney County. Let's see here. I'm just scrolling through the Facebook page to see where all of them were. It's just absolutely amazing, the outpouring of what is going on. And I'm going to share to my Facebook page the political prisoners as of March 3rd, 2016. But let's talk about what happened in Portland and Salem since I was at those events. So we had a caravan of folks that came up from Southern Oregon. They met and picked up a group in Roseburg, Eugene, Albany, Salem, Wilsonville, and then into downtown Portland. So we got to the park, and there's this beautiful park. And by the way, it's the park that the occupiers occupied for months, it seems, if my memory serves me right. Well, this park is in between the federal courthouse building and Portland City Hall.
Okay.
So when we arrived, there were already several people there waiting for the caravan, the convoy, to get there. And across the street were the counter-protesters who said, "We love our public lands." Well, newsflash, so do we. They're misinformed, but I digress. I'll get back to that in a little bit. So Bruce Cuff, who is running for governor, rode up with me and my campaign Corvette up to Portland. And we walked down the street away from the crowds and did a little press conference with a couple other people, organizers of the event, and talked to Channel 6 and Channel 12 News about what was going on and why the protest and how these laws have been violated. So we walked back to the park, and we did the Pledge of Allegiance. We sang the national anthem, sang, Brain Freeze, Lee Greenwood's song, God Bless the USA, and waved to those men who are being held in the federal jail across the street from us. And then we marched around the park, two times around the park. Yeah, twice around the park. And as we did, the counter-protesters would yell whatever they yelled and blew their loud horns. Then we did a moment of silence for Lavoie Finicum and all the names of the political prisoners were read out loud. I have videos of all this on my personal Facebook page, Joe Ray Perkins, and we'll get those uploaded onto my campaign Facebook page, Perkins for Oregon. Just takes a long time to get all this stuff done. So then we walked across the street, and the organizers had prearranged with the Portland police. They knew that we were coming, and I will tell you, the Portland police and the Multnomah sheriffs that were there, officers that were there, they did a very wonderful job of keeping the peace, and the rabble-rousers were not the patriots. It was the counter-protesters and a couple of anarchists that decided they were going to show up and try to cause a ruckus. But the organizers had a permit for us to be over at the city hall. They have a little plaza out front. So that meant that the counter people had to stay 100 feet away. So while we were trying to do our speeches, they would be blowing their loud horns. And that's all right. They get to exercise their freedom of speech just as well as we do. And so that was, it was interesting, to say the least. But Robin, the men and women and children are from all walks of life that are concerned about where our country is going. So what I talked about was pretty much what everybody has been talking about. How did this start? what was the genesis of all of this? Well, it started when our federal government decided that it didn't have to obey the Constitution. So if we go back into history, we'll find out that the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, was created out of another government agency, and that agency was to it's within the Department of the Interior and Interior. Their whole thing was that they are supposed to be the guardians of the land until of the U.S. territories until it became a state, at which time that land would then get turned over to the states. So the problem is they're not turning that land over to the states. And I don't know how it is. I still have not. There's so much history there. I still, unfortunately, have not gotten through all that. But all of a sudden, the federal government stopped turning that land over, and they decide that they're going to manage it themselves. Well, that's in direct violation of the Constitution in more than one place. And I've mentioned this before. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, it's very clear, the land the federal government can own. 10 square miles, which is Washington, D.C., and that land that is then purchased by the federal governments from the respective states for military use and those needful buildings. The other part of the Constitution that is violated is it also says that every state, and I'm looking up the address right now for that so I can give the listeners that exact address, that new states are to be entered, I'm typing this as we talk, into the union on equal footing.
Well, as you point out, is that it was for military purposes, but when's the last time you saw a military base in those areas?
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. So where this is at is in Article 4. So Section 3, Clause 1, Article 4, Section 3, Clause 1, admission of new states to the Union. This doctrine says that every state shall be entered in under equal footing. So if that's equal footing, then that means that we should be, Oregon should come into the union with very little federally owned land. On the east, in the original three states, colonies, it's about 3% on average that the federal government, quote unquote, owns. So the question is, how has that changed? And the answer is, are state officials being lackadaisical and not insisting that the government turn over the management of all those lands? Well, what has happened is the federal agencies are now making their own rules and making their own decisions and creating situations where people can no longer keep their land. So going back to how this happened, we had the Bundys down in Nevada, and the BLM said, hey, you owe us money for grazing rights. Well, no, the BLM is not allowed to collect money. So you cannot own an agency money that does not have legal standing to collect money. That money, that agreement was with the courts. Well, how do we end up in Eastern Oregon? So for those folks not familiar with what happened, father and son, the Hammonds, had lit a couple of fires, Beck fires, to keep a forest fire from encroaching or an arranged land fire onto their property. It was a total of 137 acres, and they put the fire out. Well, they were charged underneath the Terrorism Act. Well, as one of the speakers on Saturday said, how many arsonists do you know put out their own fires? And the fires did exactly what they were meant to do. They stopped the fire from growing any larger. The original judge in the case said that he cannot sentence them underneath the law, that it was an unjust sentence, that this did not meet that test, and it was appealed, and they were slapped with 5 years. Enter Ammon Bundy, goes there, says this is wrong. Well, what's interesting and what is just now getting out, and again, this video is posted on my Facebook page, is the Malheur County, or the Malheur Refuge people knew that Ammon Bundy was coming. In fact, he went over to the refuge and told the staff to go ahead and take some vacation days. The manager of the department over there unlocked the doors and left his keys on the desk for them. So they were not trespassing. How can you be trespassing if the manager knows you're coming and leaves the place unlocked for you and leaves the keys on the counter?
Yeah.
It's a little difficult to be trespassing. But what he did is he told his staff, do not call 911. Now, according to one of the gentlemen who was speaking on Saturday, if they had called 911, then the county automatically had legal jurisdiction. It was Tom Davis from Harney County who shared the true accounts of what was happening over there. And so the federal government in Harney County knew what was going on and allowed them to come and go. In fact, they came and went all the time. The press was there. They came and went. Different people were there. So we know that the FBI was called in. We know that there were mercenaries that were part of this. And the harassment that was going on was not by the militia, by the Patriots. It was by the government hired people that were posing as the FBI. They were the ones that were terrorizing the citizens, not the Patriots. They weren't the terrorizers. They are bringing to light an issue. So let's go back to the Hammonds. The BLM forced them into a situation because they brought up these charges and then got them to sign a first right of refusal for the BLM to be able to buy their land. So they get first option on the property when the Hammonds can no longer make their payments on their ranch and can no longer keep a roof over their head.
Well, and to kind of throw on top of that, on the Bundy Ranch blogspot.com website, they're talking about the Hammond Ranch, and they're saying that, and they're insisting that the protest was to be peaceful.
Yep.
Do not bring weapons. Do not, they said come in civilian garb. And they emphasized more and more, or in many places here, that this is a peaceful operation. If you have any ill intent, please do not come. We do not need you.
Right. And so where did the violence come from? Well, the violence came from the mercenaries who showed up there in Harney County and followed people home and slashed tires and loosened lug nuts. It wasn't from the Patriots that were there. It wasn't from Ammon Bundy and his supporters at all.
Right.
Because these are men and women who are law-abiding citizens that were exercising, as I've mentioned before, their right for a redress of their grievances against the federal government. So as I look at what happened in Portland and Salem and cities around this country on Saturday, was this coming together of people from all walks of life in one common cause of saying enough is enough. The federal government has for too long overstepped its boundaries, and we're going to take our country back. We don't want to do it by force. We want to do it by bringing to light the tyranny. It turns out the other day that another patriot was arrested. It was another Bundy in Utah. How very interesting. He was arrested for no cause, and they let him go a couple of hours later. And if I remember correctly, they turned around and arrested him again for nothing. He was in Utah. That's where he lives with his family. So it's just amazing that we've got this group of marauders, if you will, the globalist power mongers.
Well, let me ask you a question here, and correct me if I'm wrong in this. Wasn't a couple of the Bundys already arrested and served time?
Well, so when Ammon Bundy is sitting in jail in Portland, he knew that we were there. One of my friends found out that he was on the backside of the building and grabbed about 15 people, and they went over and waved up at him, and they could see his shadow. The windows are mirrored up there, but he could see the shadow of the arm waving back and forth, so he was waving back down to them. So, yeah, they are sitting up there.
Well, I guess we're going with
jail. And Cliven Bundy, the father, when he flew into Portland to support his sons, 2 years after the Cliven Bundy ranch standoff, was arrested for things that happened 2 years ago. Now, here's the question, Robin. Why was Cliven Bundy not arrested in Nevada before he ever boarded his plane? Why?
Why then?
We don't have an answer for that.
Well, where I was kind of going with my question, I could be totally wrong in this, but didn't some of the Bundys get arrested a couple of years back, serve time, and then some other judge said that you're...
That was the Hammonds.
Oh, the Hammonds.
That was the Hammonds.
Okay, I thought it was illegal to be arrested twice for the same crime.
It is. It absolutely is illegal to be... That's called double jeopardy. So... what happened is they were sentenced, served their time, but it was appealed. Their sentence was appealed, and they got slapped with the maximum sentence. I believe it was the maximum sentence, but anyway, they had to serve out a full 5 years, and so now they're in prison. So there are currently... As of March 3rd, 42 people sitting in jail.
Yeah, notice the...
Four have been arrested and are out on bond, awaiting trial.
And how many of the protesters from Nevada a couple years back are being hunted down?
Don't know that question. But check this out. This is who has been arrested on the Bundy family. Ammon, Cliven, David, Melvin, Ryan. The father and four sons. Their youngest son, I don't remember his first name, their youngest son just posted a really neat video the other day. He just graduated high school. And so now he is running the ranch until his father can come home. So this is just, it's heartbreaking what's going on in this country. So we had some great people speaking. Bruce Cuff, governor for, a candidate for governor here in Oregon, spoke. Gentleman by the name of Gavin Syme spoke, and his video from Salem is on my website. And then we had people speaking from Harney County that came over. So the reason that I really want to talk about this tonight, Robin, is because we need to wake up. And for people that are going, well, yeah, I'm not a rancher, So why does this affect me? Why should this matter? Well, it matters because where do you think your food comes from? These are cattle ranchers. They're raising your beef. These are the heart and soul of Americans, your farmers. And if they're going to start taking away grazing rights, and if the cattle can't graze, they can't eat. If they can't eat, they're going to die. If they can't get water, they're going to die. If they can't water their crops, the crops are going to die. You and I will not be able to eat. But they're going to start taking away their land. What of yours are they going to take away? They're going after our religious freedom. They are violating our First Amendment, freedom of religion. They're already going after our guns. They've been indoctrinating our children for years. We send our children off to public school. We don't know what they're being taught for 5, 6, 7 hours a day. Why are these kids coming out so liberal saying, well, yeah, the government owes us. The government owes us. Honey, the government doesn't owe you anything except for what's in the Constitution. And those rights, those God-given rights, can't be taken away from you by man.
Yeah.
So,
well, we got 2 minutes here, Joe, right?
I know. I'm looking at the clock, and there was just so much. We ended up in Salem. There was another large crowd, and by the time we got to Salem, it was pouring down rain. And the people stood in the rain to honor the boy Finnicum, to thank his family, to support our political prisoners, and to vow that, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. And I want to end with this, Robin. In Oregon, 5 p.m. tomorrow, that's Tuesday, is the filing deadline. Look on your city website. Look on your county website. Look and see what offices are open for candidates. Cemetery boards, your fire districts, your water districts, school boards, city council, mayor, county commissioners. It doesn't take long to file for an office. Many of the office filings are free. File to be a precinct committee person. That's got to be done by 5 p.m. tomorrow. PCPs, precinct committee persons, are the grassroots of the Republican and the other party ground force. Please, people, wake up. Get involved. It doesn't take that much time. If a bunch of us will do a little bit, we can accomplish a lot. And this is for the sake of our country, for this great republic that we live in, to keep us from becoming just another socialist country. We want to be able to have a country where people are free. This is still the only country in the world, Robin, that people are trying to get into. This is where they want to live because this is the land of freedom. And people that I talk to from socialist countries say to me, Joe Ray, Americans don't understand what they're giving up.
Exactly. So real quick, your email and contact information?
To ask a question, it is askperkins4oregon@gmail.com or go to my website, perkins4oregon.com. You can find me there. And, folks, I need your prayers. I am asking for financial sacrifices. If it's $5, if it's $500, $10, $100, $1,000. It takes money to run a campaign. I wish we could do it for free, but we can't. So please, your financial sacrifices, I humbly ask for those, and thank you.
That's right. Contact Joe Ray, like she says, no questions too small. And she's going up against some
heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters up there, so she needs your help. So give her a hand. And Joe Ray will be back on the 21st to answer your questions. So,
and I will be on the road on the 21st, so it's going to be might be noisy, but we'll make it work.